Later this year, a Chicago institution will mark 60 years in business. The Second City calls itself the world's premier comedy club, comedy theater, and school of improvisation. And it certainly has made its mark on comedy in America. Everyone from Chris Farley.
I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
To Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch.
You used to watch hockey with me, didn't you?
Yeah, you swear too much.
The neighborhood children enjoy it.
Yeah.
To Stephen Colbert.
It's called role-playing, Dave.
To Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah. It is downright spooky. It is.
Many of those comics ended up taking ideas from Second City's main stage to places like Saturday Night Live. And 6 decades after its founding, this place remains a mecca for young actors and writers hoping to make a career out of comedy.
You gotta stop ribbon dancing in the house.
How did you know I ribbon danced?
Saw you doing it yesterday.
I thought you were asleep.
On a recent Monday night, dozens of students were gathered in small groups in classrooms and an amphitheater at Second City's headquarters, practicing their sketches, eating a microwaved meal, or just chatting. Jessica Hannaberry is 37. She started taking classes here 3 years ago. Hannaberry performs at Second City while holding a full-time job in advertising.
I'm in advertising because I wanted to be creative, and my parents had always kind of pushed me, tried to get me into acting and all that kind of stuff, but I honestly was afraid of ruining the thing that I like most in the world. Like, you know, when you see how the sausage is made? I think I kind of spooked myself out of doing that, and then I always kind of regretted it. I was like, this will be my outlet. And then I was like, class after class, like sucked in. And I was like, this is how I really want to make my income, more than I just want it to be my creative outlet.
So what's the ultimate goal?
The ultimate goal is that I'm a freelancer right now. So the ultimate goal is to take the percentage of how I make my income from 100% advertising to, right now I'm still learning and we're performing almost for free, to 100% performing and being an actor and doing comedy, writing sketches, being a part of that kind of universe.
Here in Chicago, or do you want to move on to New York, L.A.?
Gosh. Yeah, I would love to perform in Chicago. I love the city. I would be happy to perform in Chicago for the rest of my life. If something took me to California or took me to New York, I would love that too. I'm so inspired by being here. And seeing the different projects. I mean, as we're sitting here, there's all these people practicing for different things and doing rehearsed things, doing improv, doing things on film that I kind of want to touch it all and see and find the me in it. You know, I'm not like straight out of college coming here. I have had some life experiences and I've had different career things, and I want to find how I can take that part of my being and that part of my knowledge and put comedy and put acting and stuff into it and find that like unique Venn diagram of how I can bring a unique form of entertainment into the world.
It's just that much fun.
It's hella fun. I don't know if I can say that. It's hecka fun. But it's so much fun. I am truly bitten by the bug. Like, I'm lit up about being here more than I've ever been lit up about anything in my entire life.
How worried are you about whether you can make 100% of your income in this business compared to what you're doing now?
I'm only worried that I would quit before I, you know, really tried. If I don't make it, then I've succeeded, you know, like, because I'm getting to do this all the time. If somehow tricking people into performing with me and liking me enough to perform with me. So that part's fine. Like, I'm baseline happy. If I can get even 50-50 to where I'm performing and making that part of my life and making that an outlet, I'll be, like, overjoyed.
27-year-old Jess Alexander thought he was going to be a pastor, but he put that aside when he started a conservatory program here. Now, Alexander wants to do comedy full-time.
Yeah, it'd be really nice to spend all my time doing that. I actually work here as a customer service representative, so I really enjoy being in the building and around the people, so why not make a career performing?
What's the ultimate goal?
Making a living. Some people say LA, some people say New York. Personally, I don't like New York. I live there. Neil Patrick Harris can have it if he wants. But I would love to just live in Chicago and raise a family, maybe teach one of these stages, the main stage or Torco, would be really, really great. That's a great aspiration, but I definitely understand that it's a hard and competitive thing. So honestly, teaching and just kind of being around it for the rest of my life would be wonderful.
What kind of things are you learning, not just from doing it here, but also from working here and watching other people do it?
Yeah, I definitely get to go back in the kitchen, so to speak. This place used to frighten me in the wrong way before I got to know that, you know, the producers and the actors, they're human, just like anybody else. I'm learning to not take myself so seriously. I'm learning that we're all in this together, so to speak. I know it's kind of cliche, but we really are. I'm looking at conservatory students in level 6 right now that are about to do a show, and they're my peers. They're my friends. I'm going to be doing that in 6 months, and so I can empathize with them. There's a lot of empathy that happens when you're in a place like this and you see that you're doing the same thing everybody else is.
There's also empathy because improv is all about feeding off of one another on stage. And in fact, there are two schools of thought on that. One is that you should try to lift up your castmates first before you think about yourself. The other is just the opposite. I asked Alexander where he comes down.
Taking care of yourself is really important because then you know what your deal is, what your character might be, what your objective is. And if the other person is also thinking that, then you guys can make something together because you've already figured out who you are. And I think that applies to a lot of things in life. I'm in a marriage. I hope that my wife doesn't have to just carry me the whole time.
You use your skills from Second City in your marriage?
Yeah, definitely. We're 5 years strong now, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, you got to take care of yourself in relationships. And I think that translates really well into improv and then vice versa into relationships in life.
As we talk, we gaze up at a wall of Second City's most successful alumni. People like Eugene Levy, Joan Rivers, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, and Gilda Radner. Anthony LeBlanc is on that wall, too. He's been at the Second City since 2003 and is now a director. He also works as an acting coach for Nickelodeon. LeBlanc studied computer science and physics in college and originally wanted to work for NASA. But then he found Second City. So do you find that most of the people that you're working with here are coming in because they want to make a career out of it or just because they want a hobby on the side?
It depends. I think that it's a good amount of people who actually probably are just doing it randomly. Either that might be interesting to them or they want something different in their lives or they're looking to get better at their job. And then they might wind up getting that bug and then deciding comedy is the thing they want to do. There are some people who move here and are like, I want to be on SNL or whatever that might be. But there is also a large amount of people who just come in here randomly and then wind up working their way into comedy being the thing that they're into.
How often does somebody come through here and they're just not going to make it?
I mean, make it at what?
Even doing it as a hobby, even doing improv or comedy as a hobby.
Oh, you can do it as a hobby and be fine. A large percentage of people do that. Actually, I think it's different about Chicago than, say, even New York or L.A. I think New York and L.A. are full. I have a lot of people who are trying to move on in the industry or they're trying to get industry jobs. There's a lot of people, and I tell my students this all the time, that there are people here who are doctors by day or lawyers by day, but at night they perform comedy at a high enough level where people pay money to see them. And that's a unique thing about Chicago is that you can do this as a hobby in quotation marks, but do it at a level that you are really good at it or really good at the thing you do, which is really fun.
Now, Second City is not the only game in town anymore in this city. How do you differentiate yourself from the other players that are here?
Well, I think the two big things for us is that we do satirical sketch comedy. So our end thing is working towards a sketch show that is a theatrical performance, that is an equity show that has a Broadway schedule. That is the end goal of everything we do here is using improv to create those things, which is different from the other places that are here as their main thing. I think the other thing is that really heavy push towards satirical, social political satire is a little different than, say, IO or Annoyance. So things happen there like that, but some of the focus is more on the improv side more so than the sketch review that we're going towards as the end product here.
Why do you think Chicago has such a thriving comedy scene?
Well, first off, the fact that improv was born here, right? And that's a thing that I think is tied into the idea of just even the mentality of how it started, right? It's the idea of, you know, Villa Swollen, Neville Boyd, like this idea of like teaching immigrant children how to relate to the new world that they're in and also acclimate themselves and become more confident, right? It kind of comes out of this place of struggle a little bit and hardship that I think pushes people to really enjoy and
have fun.
And have fun, yeah. Because you have to. It's cold most of the time. It's negative 50-something with the wind chill, you got to laugh about something.
Right. What do you tell people who want to come in here and make a living out of this about how difficult that is going to be?
Yeah, I would say that in the end, if your goal is to be famous or to make it, know that that is a very small percentage of people who ever do that as far as like success as deemed by winning things or being wealthy, right? But there's a lot of other successes that can come from that, whether it makes you a person who is able to be in more command of their jobs that they're at, you're creating content and funny that you like, you're doing things on your own terms. That can also be different ways of measuring success. So I always tell people, like, what do you actually see as success for you? And really start to gauge that and really understand that, because sometimes you can get lost in the idea of what other people say success is versus what you think is being successful.
So it's not all about that regular visit from Lorne Michaels of Saturday Night Live, who comes looking for new talent. And in 2019, the Second City has more competition for laughs in Chicago than it used to. If you're getting into comedy today in Chicago, you're just as likely to get your start at I.O., formerly Improv Olympic. Since 1981, it has built a reputation among aspiring comedians for its commitment to long-form improv. Sharna Halperin, who co-founded I.O. along with Del Close, says I.O. is different from its cousin just a mile down the road.
Well, you know, Second City is putting up a comedy review, and the review lasts for about a year. Though we do have sketch comedy, our main focus is improvisation, where we have different shows that are improvised every single night. So you can literally come here every night of the week and see a different show.
Has it changed a lot since you started?
Oh, my God. The reason I started was because if you weren't one of the six people on stage at Second City, you weren't performing. And I wasn't one of the six people on stage. So I thought, well, there's so many of us. Dan Castellaneta, who's the voice of Homer Simpson, there were so many of us who didn't have a place to play. So I created this little game theater. And again, it was just games, you know, like Whose Line Is It Anyway? At that time, it really wasn't something great, improvisation, and it was a tool for Second City to create sketch, you know. And then after about a year, I thought there has to be something for improvisation that's more than just these little games. And that's when I went and found Del Close, and he said, well, you know, I'm working on something I've been trying to do since the 60s, but Bernie Solins of Second City won't let me experiment because he's already making millions and he's happy with the way things are going. And he said, so if you want to shut down your little game theater, we can create this thing I've been working on called The Herald. And I said, yes, please. And the work just became just amazing.
The Herald is IO's signature format for a long-form improv show, where actors improvise not just funny scenes and moments, but characters and storylines that come to a conclusion over about 45 minutes.
Two potatoes.
You hold them against your temples.
Is that right?
We do?
No, I do.
Halperin says there are three key things that good improvisers need to be able to do.
I think it's an ability to be saint-like for about 45 minutes a time when you're on stage, because you have to be giving to the other person. You have to take care of the other people. You have to know that the only way to look good is to make that other person look good. You have to have an ability to listen, to want to collaborate. And I think also a high reference level is very important.
What do you mean by that, a high reference level?
Someone who's well-read, who knows what's going on in the world. This is a place for you to say something. This is your soapbox. And, you know, the audience wants us to help them think about some of these issues. How do we feel? What scares us? Should we be worried? And that's our job, is to explore the issues and make statements on stage. And so you have to have something to say. Or what good is it?
The Herald isn't the only show at I.O. There's a satirical news show, improvised musicals, improvised Shakespeare, and a new edition, improvised Jane Austen.
What someone who truly loved themselves canter about complaining all hours of the day as opposed to taking adventure by the nape of the neck and choking it out?
Sarah Mobley and Kate Parker are two of the show's cast members. Years before they brought improvised Jane Austen to I.O., they were students here.
My bachelor's is in musical theater, and I was like, I came and saw some improv, learned about what it was, and thought the whole entire goal of life is to create together and to see that sort of art form where you're not the only one, but you're creating together, that collaborative practice in where the choice is to support each other instead of negating each other. It was the most beautiful part of the art form, and I was like, I want to do that. Plus, it's super funny.
Yeah. I grew up just outside the city, so I've been coming to see shows at, like, Second City since I could drive a car. And so once I moved to the city, I auditioned for the Second City Conservatory. And then at I.O., you can just pay and show up. One of my other favorite things about the city is that you can make your own space, so you can just find a place to perform and choose the people you want to perform with and then make amazing, hilarious, and beautiful art.
And what about making a living? Do you make a living doing this, or do you have to work on the side?
That's still coming up.
No. We do not make money doing this show. We could, if enough people hear about it, we could. I have, like, I'm jack of all trades, master of none, freelance, photography, graphic design, babysitting, retail, office management. What do you need done? For a reasonable wage, I could probably do it. And she's a trained teacher.
I'm a special education teacher. And I think improv training was everything. And having done the improv training first and come to teaching second, especially to be a special educator, to walk into a room and have to make accommodations on the fly and deal with all of the variables thrown at you that are children in their natural state, makes it much easier to say yes to them and then to build their confidence up rather than say, no, sit down, do that. You know, guys.
Improv is a skill for every situation, for schools, for business, for customer service, for life, for friendships. It's an amazing tool that you can use pretty much anywhere.
And is there an end goal? Is there something that you, like, a lot of people come through and they want to go be on Saturday Night Live or something like that?
And that's true too. And we have people on our team that are that talented and that could easily happen to them. Sarah and I have been in this game for a long time, and I think that we do it because we love the art form, we love each other, we love our troupe of all women, and I think that keeps us coming back. But being here now with you, being at I.O. and having a home here, and we're so supported, that's very close to the dream coming true. And of course we want to share our art with people, and to make a living at it that way, wow, that would be amazing.
It's something that if you pull back and stop doing it, you feel a hole.
Oh, for sure.
Because it is an art form where no matter, at the top of your game, you are still learning, 100%. Learning is always continually happening because you're receiving all of this information from other people and saying yes and building onto it. Everybody that you play with, you get a different background and you're in the moment of accepting. So whatever is coming at you, you get to say yes, and it teaches you to say yes to life and step forward rather than dealing with your fears and stopping. So not only is it a way of expressing your art, but also of expressing your philosophy of life, and being in it and doing it continually makes you always reflect and say, am I saying yes to life enough while taking care of myself?
And it never gets old after all these years.
No. Absolutely not. Every show is different. We do a narrative improv where there's a story arc and everything, and we haven't done one that was the same. So every experience of doing the show is another. You're in it, and you're also delighted by it.
Now, full disclosure, my brother Ollie has been doing improv in Chicago for years at the Second City, and now he's a regular performer at I.O. He wasn't there when we stopped by to talk with owner Sharna Halpern. As you know, my brother is involved with I.O.
He's terrible.
but one of the things that he has said to me is that he feels like whether he's doing it or whether he's watching other people doing it, he's always learning something about it, and that in itself is a lot of fun, just learning from other people who are really good at it.
Absolutely, and I think that's why they all support each other and they all watch each other. It's always a learning experience. So is teaching. And by the way, I'm only kidding. Ali's wonderful. He's not terrible, and he's going to kill me. He's one of our top players here. And he's wonderful. He's a very nice person, and I think that's really important. That's what I'm talking about, is a saint-like person who will watch the stage. You know, my favorite thing when I watch my shows is watching the players off the stage who are in the show that night, watching what's happening on stage. They are watching the two people or three people on stage, and they're laughing and they're clapping and they're enjoying it. They're enjoying the hell out of watching their fellow player succeed. And they're right there if something is needed. They're right there to give them something. So it really is this team-like thing. It is kind of like a sport. You know, you have to be there for your fellow player. You got to be there to catch that ball and to grab the ball and help them run and tackle and whatever. You have to be able to do that for each other.
So what's the next step for IO, do you think?
Well, the first thing is to stay in business because the property taxes have gone through the roof and it's very difficult. This is the same thing that happened to UCB in New York. I mean, the governments are putting the comedy clubs out of business. But the main thing I think right now is, you know, more of the same. We're creating plays. We're creating movies. We're all working and just so much talent.
Does it ever get boring for you? Do you ever have a bad day at the office?
Yes, but that's not because of improvisation, but just because I have to deal with all the administrative stuff, you know, any kind of legal stuff, the property tax. So that's not stuff I signed on for. I got into this business because it was fun. And then all of a sudden when you get into the business aspect of it, it's not fun. That's my dog crying in the background. It's nobody's hurting anyone here, just in case you know. Yeah, you always have bad days. But as far as being here at night and hanging out with the funniest people in the world and watching the funniest shows in the world, you know, it's I'm in the best business you could possibly be in. And every day I wake up and I know how lucky I am.
That's the sound of the warm-up for improvised Jane Austen the night of our visit. There's no script, of course, so the actors can only get ready by playing off of one another.